Well, thank you very much. And those scriptures, by the way, are very meaningful for the message this morning. My text today is in Matthew chapter 20. So if you open your Bibles to the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the text for today is Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. However, the context for this passage is found in chapter 19, verse 27. Let us remember always to keep the scripture in its context. Listen to what takes place in Matthew 19, 27. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have therefore? Let me give you a paraphrase of it. We have forsaken everything to follow you. So what do we get out of it? That's what he said. And Jesus responds by giving the instructions in Matthew 20. Now, before I read this, you need to understand what a day laborer is. A day laborer is a man who went to the town square early every morning to wait for job recruiters. And someone would recruit him, and there would be a rate of pay which would be arranged. The guy would go out and work all day, and he would come back and he'd be paid. Not the typical way we do it today, but that was the context at that time. In this parable, the day laborers are hired at four different times. 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, 3, and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Every one of them will be given a denarius, which you must remember was an honest day's pay at that time. Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder or a landowner, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour. Now that's the early one, 9 o'clock. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. Whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. In about the 11th hour, which is 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why are you standing here doing nothing? They said unto him, Because no man has hired us. He said, Okay, I'll tell you what, you go out into my vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his foreman, Call all the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a denarius. Now, let's pause right there. This particular parable is not about what we do for the Lord. This parable is about why we do what we do for the Lord. It's about the attitude and spirit with which we serve. Now, what do these day laborers teach us about serving Jesus Christ? Because I assume you came today because you believe in Christ and you want to serve Him in whatever way the Lord leads you. This passage, Jesus gives us three sins that will ruin us if we follow them and if we allow them to get a hold of us in trying to serve the Lord. Three sins that can ruin us. First of all, and I draw all my points from the text. I'm an expositional style preacher. I want you to notice, first of all, they had expectations. Verse 10. When the first came, they supposed, the NIV says, they expected that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a denarius. They thought they should have received more. They had expectations. They had already figured out what they thought the owner of the estate ought to pay them. And I would submit to you that one of the biggest problems we have in serving the Lord is too many of us have expectations about what we think God ought to do. Isn't that the same problem in marriages? Having been a pastor all these years, I can't tell you the number of times I've sat in counseling sessions with people who are having marital problems. And here's what I'll hear. She says, well, I expected him, to be more sensitive to me. Well, I didn't think he was going to be so critical. I mean, I thought he would be more caring. At least I thought he would talk to me. He sits there and watches the television after he comes home from work. He doesn't even talk to me. I thought, I expected, there it is. But you know what? It works the other way. Well, I expected her to be less of a nag. I thought she might be a little more domestic before I married her. I mean, she doesn't even cook. And we guys would say, and I thought she would be more affectionate. What happened? She couldn't get enough of me when we were dating. Now I hardly can touch her. And I didn't think she'd spend so much money. Expectations, right? That's the first sin that will ruin us in serving the Lord. I have a question for you. Do you already have expectations about what you're doing for the Lord right now? You figure if you do this, this is what the church ought to do, or what the leaders ought to do, or what the Lord ought to do. Or you would think, well, I would... expectations. Second, they became bitter. Look at verse 11. And when they had received it, they murmured. One translation says they protested against the goodman of the house. Or they murmured, protested. I worked, some of you know, my background before I went to ministry. I was 5.5 years with the Chevrolet division of General Motors. I thought that's where I was headed with my career. Honest to goodness, I was there 5.5 years. One of the things, if you say, what surprised you about General Motors? Here's what I'll tell you. I was shocked at how many grievances are filed. Stacks of them every week. Employees complaining about this or this on the line or whatever. Oh my goodness. But you know what these people did right here that went out serving this master? Who, by the way, is Christ. You get the picture. They filed a grievance, basically. They protested. And we don't like what we were paid. And they became bitter. And some Christians today are not able to serve the Lord or are struggling trying to serve the Lord because they have become bitter. I beg you, guard yourself against bitterness. And that goes for me too as a preacher, because I've seen enough stuff. I don't want to become bitter. Jesus hasn't disappointed me. People may have, but he hasn't. By the way, we choose to become bitter. There is another choice: to respond in grace. It didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. How did you respond? Were you gracious? And you accepted it? Well, the Lord must have a purpose in this. By the way, a little footnote. You know the first time the word bitter is used in the Bible? Most people don't. Let me quote it. Genesis 27, verse 34. Don't even turn to it. Let me quote. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. You know why? Because his brother got blessings that he didn't get. You know the first time the word bitterness is used in the Bible? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept much. Do you know why? Because she didn't have a child and she thought she ought to have a child. So what was God doing? And the last time the word bitterness is used, in Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently lest any man miss the grace of God. Now watch, miss the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Did you see the two words in that verse? Did you see bitterness and grace? What is grace? Grace is the power that God gives to us to do things His way. What is bitterness? Bitterness is the result of resisting the power that God gives to us to do things His way. And we make the choice. I can respond to any situation in bitterness or grace. So they had expectations. They became bitter. Third sin. They made comparisons. Look at verse 12. These last have worked only 1 hour. You made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. That is, we have borne the burden of all the work and the heat of the day, and they got paid the same thing that we got paid. Comparisons. You know what I noticed in that verse? Them and us. You ever been there? I have. Well, why didn't they ask me to teach the class? Well, I don't know why they made him a deacon, because I could have done a better job as a deacon than he would. Look, I'm not aiming at anybody here. I'm taking what Jesus said are the sins that will hurt all of us in trying to serve Christ. Listen, you know, you guys have already stepped into my heart, my wife's heart. By the way, I think she's teaching over there now with Mary Beth. And, you know, I appreciate your spirit. I have said that to you already last time I preached. I appreciate your spirit. Guard it. Guard your spirit. We've all been through enough circumstances that if we want to, we can become bitter toward whoever or whatever. Don't do it. Just ask God for grace. So they had expectations. They became bitter. They made comparisons. Don't you remember what Romans 14 says? Who are you to judge another man's servant? I mean, that's a reflection of what Jesus said in this passage. Who are you to judge another man's servant? to his own master he stands or falls. I like to read paraphrases. They are God's servants, not yours. They're responsible to him, not you. Let him tell them whether they're right or wrong. God is able to make them do as they should. That's a paraphrase of Romans 14:4. What do we learn about our Lord from this passage? Well, first, three things come to my mind from the text. Christ is always gracious. Look at verse 3. He went out about the third hour, and he saw people who were standing there who didn't have any work. Look at verse 6. He went out the 11th hour, and he found others who were standing there idle. They didn't have any work. And he gave them work. They didn't have a job. Nobody chose them. Nobody wanted them for whatever reason. He gave them work. Now they're the ones criticizing him for what they were paid. God is always gracious. I can tell you, in any circumstance that you face, Jesus Christ is a gracious God. And he's good. He's gracious and he's good. Look at verse 4. Go ye also into the vineyard. And Jesus said, whatever is right, I will give you. Isn't that interesting? You can read through those verses at first, the beginning of the sermon, and then all of a sudden you go back and read it again. It's like, oh. Jesus said, I'll give you what's right. They came back and said, why did you do what you did? What they're saying is, you didn't do right. No, he says, I'll do what is right. He's gracious, he's good, and he's generous. Verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let me give you the point of what he's saying. He says the truth Jesus says to these workers. So Jesus says to all of us here at Grace, we're all going to get the same reward. You say, well, wait a minute. I understand my theology. Hang with me. All believers, he says in that verse, are going to get the same thing, everlasting life. Eternity. Every one of us. On the ground of the death of Jesus Christ. Putting first and last, he says the last to be first and all that, that's from a human viewpoint. That's the way we see it. He's saying that's the way you see it. That's not the way it is. You're all going to be treated right because I died for you to save your soul. So you owe it all to me. You owe it all to me, but you're complaining about what you're paid. I'm going to share with you in these next moments something that was very emotional for me. I want you to know that I'm going to be sharing this, but I have permission from this young lady to share this from the pulpit. I have shared it before in other places. I'll just use her first name. Her name is Lauren. Lauren's right now in her late 20s, maybe 30 years of age. Lauren has to be one of the best young ladies that ever came through Starkey Row Baptist Church. Like, there's some young people that get off the path and everything, but then they get back on, they get straightened out, and I appreciate that. But Lauren always kept her eyes on the Lord. She had the sweetest spirit. would do whatever God wanted her to do. She didn't worry about what she was paid or didn't make comparisons. And little would I realize that God was going to call her into mission work to the country of Spain. I was taken back because I didn't know that that's what was going on in her heart. But she came and gave her life publicly in front of our church to the Lord to be a missionary in Spain. By the way, she had to raise support, and she raised it quickly. Everyone jumped to support her. Of course they would. And so off she went, and no pastor had more joy in his heart to know that Lauren was out there serving God. This was 3 years ago. And then I got this. "Hello, Pastor Lancaster. I just wanted to email you to give you a little update and let you know that my home church remains..." It almost makes me cry still reading this. "My home church remains on my heart and mind here in Spain. I miss you all and I'm so thankful for your continued support. I find so much comfort and confidence just in knowing that I have an amazing community of believers at home. I have adjusted to Spain, to the culture and the language. Every day brings new joys, challenges, and experiences the Lord is using to grow and shape me. I've started to form some wonderful relationships here. With my busy schedule, I've fallen into the routine of missionary work. Feels very normal. However, I have run into some frustration and discouragement that has built up from the time I arrived on the field regarding the unity of the staff." I'm not kidding you. At that point in this letter, and I still feel it in my gut, I felt like I was getting sick, because I've been through this before. I'd been given some words of... This is one of my best girls. I'd been given some words of caution and advice in my expectations of the other missionaries and teachers that I would come in contact with. There is discord among our mission team, and I would request your wisdom and advice in dealing with this situation. What I struggle with the most is knowing we're all on the same team. We're all striving to achieve the same goals. We're all headed for the same destination. So why doesn't our behavior as a team reflect that? I would greatly appreciate, boy, for her to ask this, I would greatly appreciate any insight you might offer me and your prayers for me in this specific struggle. I won't tell you how many days it took me. I could not bring myself to write back, because I didn't know what to say, and I could just see what was happening. Been through this so many times, people who love the Lord, and then they get hurt. After much prayer, here's what I wrote back. "Hi, Lauren. I have kept your email on my desk for some time to remind me to pray for you and to get a response back to you. As to your frustration and discouragement and discord among your mission team, I have a few thoughts. In the book, I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer, just this morning, I read the chapter called I Will Lead My Family to Be Healthy Church Members. In it, he says, this is a quote, Tom Rainer, "I did not know it at the time, but my mentor Bob was watching me. He was concerned for me. He loved my youthful enthusiasm, but he knew what was coming. The more I got involved, the more I would see the imperfections in the church, the pastor, the staff, and the church members. Bob, my mentor, had seen the pattern repeatedly, get excited about the church, get more involved in the church, discover the imperfections of the church, get discouraged about the church, and leave the church. Then I said, I too, Lauren, have seen this over and over again. Having served on two large mission boards for over 35 years and the chairman of the board of ABWE, the number one problem is that missionaries cannot get along and even treat each other in ungodly ways. How sad. I've seen enough ungodly, yes, ungodly pastors around Pinellas County to last me for a lifetime. And so for me, Lauren, I have had to just determine to do the following. And there are 10 statements. Number one, keep my eyes on Christ and my nose in the Bible. Two, know it is always best to be obedient, even if others aren't. Three, remember that God will call them to account someday, here or there, and He will judge them. Four, minimize your exposure and interaction with them. Five, do what your superior says, period. If he or she is wrong, the person over them will have to answer, not you. Six, if sinners, i.e., team members, entice thee, consent thou not. Seven, love people unconditionally. Jesus did, and we have never been treated as bad as he was when he was here. Eight, you can still have joy in the midst of problems by just doing what God called you to do. Nine, cultivate a real, genuine, humble friend who can strengthen you in hurtful times. And 10. Do a personal Bible study on all the unbelievable problems the Bible characters faced. You will be amazed what they all went through. And as the founder of Clearwater Christian College, Dr. Arthur Steele, a personal friend of mine, used to say to me, well, Jerry, the Lord knows. We love and appreciate you, Lauren. I have no doubt that God has great things ahead of you because of who you are and what you are. Signed, Pastor Lancaster. Four days later. Dear Pastor, thank you so much for getting back to me. Remember, I waited for days, over a week actually. Your response could not have come at a more perfect time. I received it while I was on my mission retreat, which I had lost a lot of sleep over as I anticipated a weekend away with the team where I could only feel discord. I was greatly encouraged by your reply. And I got to witness the Lord's unwavering faithfulness as He brought healing to my heart on the retreat. I know that the Lord is using this time to teach me and grow me in new ways, and for that I'm thankful. I am so grateful to have the prayer and support of my church and my pastor behind me. I have come in contact with so many missionaries who don't have the same support system. So I know how incredibly thankful I am for Starkey. I'm Lauren. And by the way, She is right now still in Spain, serving the Lord faithfully. Ask God for grace. Don't become bitter. Now I want us to bow our heads, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. But I'm going to give you a little heart. I'm going to have you do a little heart check right now. So let's bow our heads, would you please? Our Heavenly Father, as we have gathered here today, it has been good for our hearts to sing songs to You. It has been good for us to hear You speak to us from Your Word. Lord, I want to thank You for the way that You have helped me when I have faced so many difficult, discouraging, frustrating, hurtful situations. Thank You, Lord, that I know that Jesus has never disappointed me. You've always been good to me and gracious. Would You help me, Lord, to continue? I would hate, after all these years of serving You, come down to the end of my life, mess my life up. I want You to help me, Lord, to keep my eyes on You and my nose in this book, in whatever I face. And Lord, I'm praying right now. I don't know exactly who I'm praying for, but I'm praying there may be at least one person here. Probably there's more that needed to hear this message. We all needed to hear it. But they may be struggling, like Lauren. Oh God, would You help them to respond in grace? Now keep your heads bowed. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. I'm not going to ask any specifics here. I have my eyes open right now. And I'm not going to come to you afterward, please. That's not me. But because I want to know if there are people I need to be praying for. If you say to yourself, you know what, Pastor, you'll never know what I'm going through or whatever, but I want you to know that that message is helpful to me today. Would you slip your hand up and just as a testimony and say, you know, okay, many of you are raising your hands, and I appreciate that. Lord, I've seen the hands, but You've seen the hearts. We pray that You will give each of these strength. And Lord, would You help, if there's somebody here who does not have a saving knowledge of Christ, may they not leave this building without wanting to know how to get to heaven and be sure they're going to go to heaven when they die. Oh God, we thank You for speaking to us today. Some of us have been at times like Peter. Well, we've given You everything we could, Lord, so what do we get out of it? Help us never to say that, but simply to cast all of our care upon You, knowing that You care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.